All right, let's get started. And then we'll speak about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and a little philosophy. Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindika Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Jai, Param Sai Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Rabbu Nityananda should wait to get out. Ha Shibasadi go Rabakta Vrindikijai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Govagopatnath Shyam Kunda. Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai. Vrindavanam Kijai. Bacharadam Kijai. Jagadathasami Kijai. Yamunamai Kijai. Shumari Lasi Devi Kijai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Premananda Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Samaniti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharani. Nirvashesha Shunyavadi. Pashyachate is attorney. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shaganan Jana Shalakaya. Chakshur Miditam Yena. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today, let me just get this thing set up. Okay, that's better. Alrighty. Perfect. Okay. So today, we are going to speak about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who is Srimati Radharani in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Okay, so, let's see. We spoke about him this morning, but we're going to speak about a few different subject matters this afternoon. But first, we have to speak a little bit about ontology, which we spoke about this morning. Ontology means who is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. It also means who is Lord Chaitanya, who is Lord Nityananda, who is Advaitacharya, and who is Srivas Thakur. So, of course, that's the Panchatattva, the five personalities who are eternal personalities. That's why they're called Panchatattva. So, tattva means something that is, something that continues to exist, something that never came to existence, and something that will never go out of existence. And so, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he's eternal. Lord Nityananda is eternal. Advaitacharya is eternal. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is eternal. Shivas is eternal. We are eternal, but not in our present form. Our soul is eternal, but the body is not eternal. Whereas these personalities in the Panchatattva, they have spiritual bodies. So they are eternally manifest somewhere in some universe or many universes. Their pastimes are eternal, whereas the activities of ourselves in this particular lifetime are not, sorry about that, they're not eternal. Whatever activity you had as a child, don't call it a leela, is not eternal and will never occur again. Sorry about that. And Lord Chaitanya's activities as a child are occurring in some other universe right now. Gadadhar Pandit's activities as a child in Jagannath Puri, etc., are occurring in some universe right now. Advaitacharyas, etc., they are occurring in some universe. Okay. So who is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami? According to the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is non-different than Srimati Radharani, Rishabhanu Nandini. He is Srimati Radharani, exhibiting a little different bhav than Srimati Radharani, because Srimati Radharani's bhav is that of a left-handed gopi, and which means arguing with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's bhav is not arguing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but being submissive in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami appeared in this world in 1486. He was actually a year younger than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a little less than a year. And he stayed in this world into 1534. So you figure that out. That's 14 and 34. Not a lot of years. Phew. That's about 48 years. You know, the same amount of time that Lord Chaitanya was present. And he remained with Lord Chaitanya throughout most of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Of course, in the Navadvipa pastimes, he was Lord Chaitanya's friend. At a certain point, he was upset with Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting his pastimes as a scholar, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not properly respect the Vaishnavas. Let me just fix this camera thing. I'm not really happy with the way the cameras function. Just give it 1 second detail. I know the camera's not on right now. At least the wrong camera's on. Hold on a second. The right camera will go on in a second. I'm not happy with the way camera. All right, let me give me 1 second. Put the right camera on. There we go. And I'm not really this happy. The camera's not functioning properly. Anyway, it's supposed to zoom in on me. Let's see. Anyway, whatever it is, we'll just continue with class. So, and we'll just tolerate the camera not working properly. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted like a scholar, and sometimes as a scholar, he would harass the Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnavas would pray, "My dear Lord Krishna, please let this Nimai Pandit become a devotee one day." And of course, Lord Chaitanya, when he was in Navadvip, was known as Nimai Pandit, not as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so they prayed, "Please let this Nimai Pandit become a devotee." And Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai Pandit, one day said to Gadadhar Pandit, he said that one day I will be such a great devotee that even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma will worship me. Hold on a second. There's something I just want to... Okay, that even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma will be worshiping me. I will be such a great devotee. And everyone thought he was very puffed up. But then, after he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, of course, was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from him. And Ishwarapuri previously was known to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, because Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had hosted him in his house, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had done some editing for Ishwarapuri in his book, I think it was Krishna Lilamrita that he was editing. So, anyway, so when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwarapuri, then he manifested himself as the greatest devotee of the Lord, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes people talk about this controversy, and they say that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should never be worshipped with a peacock feather in his hair. However, Prabhupada said that we can and should put a peacock feather in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair. The reason for that is that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvipa in his early pastimes, he actually manifested himself in many cases, if not most cases, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. the mood of separation from Krishna and the mood of Srimati Radharani was fully manifested when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. But in the Navadvipa pastimes, that is, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he actually manifested himself as Krishna in many cases. And there's pastimes when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami would sit on the altar and Advaita Acharya would worship both of them sitting next to each other on the altar as or in the mood of Radha and Krishna. Remember that. So therefore, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at least a great deal of the time manifested himself as the Supreme Personality of God in Navadvipa, it is very appropriate to give him a peacock feather, but not in his sannyas vesh, sannyas dress. In his sannyas dress, it is not appropriate to give Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a peacock feather. However, on the altar in our temples, we worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a grahasta, not as a sannyasi. That's the standard for the deity worship of Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai. Therefore, we put a crown on Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai, dress Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai opulently, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly is a sannyasi, never dressed opulently. As a sannyasi, he would not accept a soft bed. As a sannyasi, he would not accept sandalwood oil. He would not accept any material, well, no material, but any external opulences, because he was setting the example of a first-class sannyasi. So he would sleep basically on the floor. So devotees, they like to worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, giving him everything. So on the altar, we are worshiping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa. And the Panchatattva picture that's put on the altar, we discussed this morning with a devotee, is a picture of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa. So, anyway. So, there's many pastimes that occur between Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa. And one of the pastimes is that once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Gadadhar Pandit, "Where is Krishna? Where is my Krishna?" And at this point, of course, he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami said, "He is in your heart." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that particular juncture, began to tear at his chest, literally with his nails. And as he was tearing at his chest with his nails, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami grabbed his hands and stopped him from hurting himself. And Sachimata, she commented that, "Gadadhar, you are very intelligent. You should always stay with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to protect him," because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was known for his symptoms of ecstasy. And of course, in Jagannath Puri, those symptoms of ecstasy became further manifest, or to a greater degree. And Lord Chaitanya was not only protected by Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, but he was also protected by Govinda and other personal assistants. Like, there was Shankara, who was known as the pillow of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, anyway, so these are some of the early pastimes between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who is known as Srimati Radharani, in the Gauraganadesh Dipika of Kavi Karnapur. This is all mentioned. Then, later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, stayed there for the majority of his last 24 years in this world. For a certain amount of period, he was traveling. At one point, he went to South India. At another point, he was going to Vrindavan. Of course, when he first took sannyas, as we're reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he went to Shantipur. He was waylaid by the tricks of Lord Nityananda, and he went to Shantipur. And then, after that, by or given the permission of his mother, he went to Jagannath Puri. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami followed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jagannath Puri. And when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami took a vow of what's called Kshetra Sannyas. That means to remain in a holy place and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a particular way, not simply to remain in a holy place, but to do some substantial service. And his vow of Kshetra Sannyas was connected with his deity, or the deity that he was worshipping, called Tota Gopinath. Tota Gopinath was a very tall deity. He's not tall anymore. Or he may be tall, but he's sitting down. Previously, he was standing up. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's devotion for Tota Gopinath was so intense that when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was older and he had some trouble standing up to worship the deity, who was quite tall, the deity sat down. And you can see that deity today, that deity of Tota Gopinath that's sitting down, that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami worship. And that was the same deity that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this mortal world. And there's a golden streak on the thigh of the deity of Tota Gopinath. Incidentally, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami also left this world by entering into the deity room. Not necessarily into the deity, but entering into the deity room, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different than Tota Gopinath, whereas Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, he's non-different from Srimati Radharani. So both of them left this world in a very, very unusual way. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami also, when he was in Jagannath Puri, had the service of reading Srimad Bhagavatam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu daily. And as he was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam daily to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tears would flow profusely from his eyes. So as he finished one section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that section became illegible due to the tears that were smearing the ink on the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was illustrated in a story that's told about Srinivasacharya. Of course, Srinivasacharya, Narottamadas Thakur and Shyamananda, took instructions under Jiva Goswami. But before that, Srinivasacharya wanted to go to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So he proceeded to Jagannath Puri, and right before he got to Jagannath Puri, he found out that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this mortal world. So when he arrived, everybody was bereft, but he wanted to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So he went to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, feeling great separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, agreed to teach him the Srimad Bhagavatam. But then when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami looked at his copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he saw that his Srimad Bhagavatam was illegible because it was smeared from his tears when he was reading it. So Srinivasacharya went to find another copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and by the time he got back to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and many of the other associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world because they were feeling so much separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they could not live without his presence in this world. So, other stories about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, another one we told this morning, is the story of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami giving initiation to Ballabhacharya. Ballabhacharya, of course, is the acharya of what we call the Pushti Marg. Pushti means like nourishing, and of course they worship Krishna. And generally they worship Bala Krishna. So what happened is that Balabhacharya was in Jagannath Puri, and he was attempting at one point to establish his superior intelligence and display it in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In different ways, Balabhacharya one time went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that we are all female in relationship to Krishna. And so if someone is female or is prakriti in relationship to Purusha, he made the comparison between husband and wife. He said the wife should not use the husband's name, so therefore we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna. Which is actually an interesting argument. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him by saying, that may be a general injunction, but the higher principle is to follow the order. And it is Krishna's order that we chant his name. I mean, all over the Bhagavatam we find this, that Kaleya Dosha Nade Raja Nasheko Mahadguna Kirtana Deva Krishna Sha Mukta Sangha Parambhajat. That this age of Kali is an ocean of difficulty, an ocean of quarrel. But there is the one good quality that simply by chanting Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, Krishna Kirtan, one can actually achieve liberation. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya defeated Balabhabhat, who later on became Balabhacharya, and there were other discussions, such as when Balabhacharya criticized Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and tried to establish his superiority to the commentary, or his commentary's superiority to the commentary of Sridhar Swami. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically called Balabhacharya a prostitute for not respecting the Swami. Swami also means husband. So in this way, Balabhacharya, or Balabhabhat at that time, was chastised continually by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami really had a friendship with Balabhabhat. And because he had a friendship with Balabhabhat, Balabhabhat sort of like forced him to hear his commentaries on different things like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Holy Name. And he didn't want to hear them, but because he was very soft, Balabhabhat sort of forced it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very upset with Gadadhar Pandit Goswami for hearing what he considered to be nonsense. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu neglected Gadadhar Pandit Goswami for some time. Didn't chastise him, but he neglected him. And after some time, when Balabhabhat surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he got permission from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take initiation from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami resumed their normal relationship, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, why didn't you say something, or even, you know, chastise me or correct me when I wasn't dealing with you? And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami assumed or manifest his submissive mood. He said, I didn't want to take that particular position in relationship to you. So he always had that submissive mood in relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which, as I mentioned before, was a different mood than that manifested by Srimati Radharani. The Acharyas described the reason for that is that even though Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also manifesting the mood of Srimati Radharani. So therefore, he manifested that bhav, or that emotion of being a left-handed gopi, that's an unsubmissive gopi, in relationship with Krishna. So in one sense, Lord Chaitanya took that bhav, and Manacharya even said he stole the bhav from Radharani. So he was manifesting it. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was manifesting a very submissive bhav or emotion in relationship to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was the spiritual master, and is the spiritual master, of Ballabhacharya. So many people in the Ballabha Sampradaya, the Pushti Marg group, don't recognize that, but it is a fact that he is the spiritual master, and therefore Ballabhacharya is connected to our Sampradaya, is connected to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the mercy of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Perhaps one of the most interesting pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is the pastime of when he took initiation. So, very interesting pastime. Let's see if I remember the details. That once upon, of course, he did take initiation from someone named Pundarik Vijaniti. And Pundarik Vijaniti is the incarnation or the avatar of Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu, of course, is the father of Srimati Radharani in the Braj pastimes. And so what happened is that once upon a time, Gadadhar was invited by Mukunda Dutt, who was a great singer. He's one of the best singers in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's entourage. And Mukunda Dutt asked him to come meet this great Vaishnava named Pundarik Vijaniti. So, what happened is that Gadadhar said, okay, I will go to see him. So they arrived at Pundarik Vijaniti's house. And when they got there, Gadadhar noticed one thing that really caused him some consternation. What was that he noticed? He noticed that Pundarik Vijaniti was living like what Prabhupada would call a dapper gentleman. What's a dapper gentleman? That means, like sometimes you may call it a fop or something like that, someone who's living very, very opulently. Imagine you walk into someone's house, they're chewing pan, their teeth are red from the betel, hair is slicked back. It's described. These are some of the descriptions given in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and also in, to a certain extent, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Pundarik Vijaniti's hair was slicked back with oil on it, and he's sitting on an opulent bedstead, like a four-poster bed. I think most of you know what a four-poster bed is. With silk sheets, and he's with silk clothes on, and very, very opulent, just sitting back on a, what would you call a bolster? I don't know if any of you know what a bolster is, but some of you may know what it is. It's like a pillow that's round, and actually Prabhupada would always use a bolster when he was giving darshan. I remember sitting in Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada would be leaning back on a bolster. He had a cushion. Interesting, just a little pastimes with Prabhupada. Whenever we'd go into Prabhupada's rooms for a darshan, he would have mattresses spread all over the floor. And on top of those mattresses, there were white sheets. It was just like, it was like an ocean of snow, ocean of whiteness in Srila Prabhupada's rooms. So there were white sheets on top of these mattresses, and we would be sitting on these white sheets. And incidentally, every day Prabhupada had these white sheets cleaned. And Prabhupada would sit like a real gentleman, a mahant, with this bolster behind him, leaning back. And this is, these were his informal darshans. And he would also be sitting on a cushion or a mattress on the floor, Indian mattress, not the Western style mattresses where you have the springs and everything like that, but these were the Indian style. They were, of course, much harder. And then right to Prabhupada's right, there would always be a jar of some candy or something that Prabhupada would give out at the end of his darshans or when someone came to see him. Specifically, he'd have this rock candy there. So anyway, so many stories, or remembrances of pastimes with Prabhupada. So anyway, so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami went to see Pundarik Vijayaniti, and he saw Pundarik Vijayaniti sitting back, leaning back on this bolster, the four-poster bed, and he said, or didn't say anything, but he thought, this person is a materialist. He was thinking, Bakunda is just a little bit liberal, a little bit too liberal. So this person just must be a materialist. So Mukunda understood the mind of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And Mukunda, in order to illustrate, show Gadadhar Pandit Goswami the exalted position of Pundarik Vijayaniti, he chanted a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, of course, as I mentioned before, he was one of the most, or perhaps the most beautiful chanter, expert chanter. And as he chanted this verse, Pundarik Vijayaniti went into a trance, and not only went into a trance, he kicked apart this whole bedstead, his hair became disheveled, and he became unconscious. Practically speaking, you know, almost leaving this world. As we've mentioned many times in class, that the ecstasies felt by the pure devotee, especially the transcendental ecstasies of Yamachari Bhava, Sanchari Bhava, are not tolerable to a material body or someone who has a material body. So he was kicked apart everything. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami understood from observing these symptoms of ecstasy that he wasn't dealing with an ordinary person. In fact, he was dealing with someone who was exhibiting, you know, the topmost ecstasy in devotional service. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami thought, I have made a big mistake. I have committed an offense in my mind against this great personality. How can I mitigate this offense? How can I be forgiven? What can I do? Here is a great personality. So he decided to take initiation from Pundarik Vijayaniti, which was appropriate because Pundarik Vijayaniti is actually his father in Vraja Leela and Krishna Leela. So he decided to take initiation. Later on, when Pundarik Vijayaniti came back to external consciousness, he asked for initiation, and Pundarik Vijayaniti said something very interesting. He said, only after many, many lifetimes does one get a disciple like Gadadhar Das Goswami. Of course, he wasn't Goswami at that point, but he was Gadadhar Das. Okay. And so he gave him initiation, and Lord Chaitanya was very much appreciative of that. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always call Pundarik Vijayaniti Father, oh Father. When he was calling for him, he would say, where is Father, where is Pundarik? Oh, my Father, Pundarik, Pundarik, Pundarik. Wow, what a pastime. So, let's go back to Jagannath Puri, and there's another interesting story, hopefully I had time to tell. Many of these stories I told this morning and during the Bhagavatam class time. So as I mentioned previously, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami took a type of renunciation when he got to Jagannath Puri called Kshetra Sannyas. Kshetra Sannyas means that one vows to stay in a holy place, Kshetra, like Purushottama Kshetra, that's Jagannath Puri, Kurukshetra. One wants to stay in a holy place, vows, makes a promise to stay in a holy place. Not only stays in a holy place, but promises, vows. And in those days, vows, promises, were considered very important. Of course, today we also consider them very important, but in the modern culture, one breaks their promises, breaks their vows very, very easily. That's why you have so many divorces. And I think it's perhaps 50% or more of the marriages that end in divorce in America, very, very common. People don't keep up their spiritual vows. It's a sign of someone not being a gentleman or a gentle lady if they cannot keep promises that they make. Anyway, so getting back to the point. So Garadhar Pandit Goswami took a vow to always remain serving the deity of Tota Gopinath. And that was his Kshetra Sannyas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that that's the preferable stage of sannyas in Kali Yuga. In other words, the preferable stage of renunciation in Kali Yuga is to remain in a holy place. What's someone sending a message? Anyway, I'll ignore the messages until we get finished with class. So the preferable stage of sannyas is to stay in a holy place and serve. And of course, there are exceptions of people who take sannyas and travel around and preach Krishna consciousness. Like we have, of course, Ishwara Puri. We have Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and others who took the formal order of sannyas. But in general, one can remain with one's family and serve or take a vow of service in a holy place. So, anyway, so Garadhar Pandit Goswami took this vow of Kshetra Sannyas. And what happened is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time wanted to go to Vrindavan. And so he was on his way to Vrindavan. And Garadhar Pandit Goswami, maybe I should even read this particular section because it's quite, I might have it here. Right here, anyway. Oh, here, I do have it. I do have it written down so we can read from it. This is from the Majalila. Majalila 16:131 onwards, which is actually really important. You don't need to post all these quotes because I'm actually reading this. Thank you very much for your help. So, anyway, so here's the story. Beginning with when Garadhar Pandit started to go with the Lord, he was forbidden to come and was asked not to give up the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. And Prabhupada said, when one takes Kshetra Sannyas, he leaves his household life and goes to a place of pilgrimage devoted to Lord Vishnu. Such places include exactly what I said, Purushottama, Jagannath Puri, Navadvip Dham, and Mathura Dham. The Kshetra Sannyasi lives in these places alone or with his family. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers Kshetra Sannyas to be the preferable vanaprastha situation of the sage of Kali. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya lived in this way, and he has been called a Kshetra Sannyasi, that is, a sannyasi living in Jagannath Puri. And of course, the word sannyas, as we mentioned in a previous class, means to accept and reject, to accept everything favorable for the Lord's service and reject everything unfavorable. That's really what sannyas means, according to Krishna in the Gita, too. So continuing, when he was requested to return to Jagannath Puri, Garadhar Pandit told the Lord, wherever you are staying is Jagannath Puri. Let my so-called Kshetra Sannyas go to hell. In other words, let my vow go to hell. It's really interesting. Now, some of you may think, oh, that's not a big thing. But in that culture, to renounce one's vows or promises was considered greatly sinful. In Kali Yuga, lying is actually part of the game. I mean, if you read the news about some of the politicians in America, some of the politicians in other places, you'll see that lying is just part of their life. You know, they'll make a promise and not follow that promise. But in his culture, in Brahminical culture, truthfulness is so important. For example, that's how you could know who's a Brahmin. There's this story in the Vedic literatures about this sage, Gotama Rishi, who tested his disciple who was born in a non-Brahmin family. It's called the story of Satchikam to see if he was a Brahmin. So, all right, here's a story. Once upon a time, there was a young man, and he went to see Gautama Rishi, and he said, "Can I be your disciple?" And Gautama Rishi says, "Well, first I have to know who your father is." And this guy said, "I don't know who my father is." And Gautama Rishi said, "Ask your mother." Because that way he'd be able to tell what caste he's from. So he went to his mother, and his mother happened to be like a pretty loose lady. And he asked his mother, "Who is my father?" And his mother said, "I don't know who your father is. He could have been him, or him. And so he goes back, and Gautama Rishi says, "Did you ask your mother?" And this person, who is later known as Satchikama, means truth lover, says, "My mother doesn't know." And then he said to him, "You are a Brahmin." Why are you a Brahmin? Because you're telling the truth. So you can ascertain, this is very important, you can ascertain, even though he was born in a family where his mother was a maidservant and God knows who his father was, but you can ascertain someone's status in the Varnashram system by their guna and karma, as Krishna says in the Gita. Guna karma vibhagasha. Okay, let's continue with this. So, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami saying, "Let my vow go to hell," is a very heavy thing. It's equivalent to the gopis saying, "Let their marriage vows go to hell because they were meeting with Krishna." It's the same thing. Because Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Srimati Radharani. See the equivalency there? So, when Lord Chaitanya asked Gadadhar Pandit to remain at Jagannath Puri and engage in Gopinath's service, Gadadhar Pandit replied, "One renders service to Gopinath a million times simply by seeing your lotus feet." Lord Chaitanya said, "If you abandon his service, it will be my fault. It is better that you remain here and render service. That will be my satisfaction." The pundit replied, "Don't worry. All the faults will be on my head. I shall not accompany you, but shall go alone." In other words, he followed Lord Chaitanya. "I shall go to see Satchimata, but I shall not go for your sake. I shall be responsible for abandoning my vow and service to Gopinath." Thus, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami traveled alone, but when they all arrived at Katak, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called them, and they all went to the Lord's capital. No one can understand the loving intimacy between Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. Gadadhar Pandit gave up his vow and service to Gopinath just as one gives up a piece of straw. Just to get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, Gadadhar Pandit gave up his life's vow to engage in Gopinath's service. This kind of loving affection can be understood only by very confidential devotees. As I said, it's in the mood of the gopis. Ordinarily, no one can understand its purport. Gadadhar Pandit's behavior was very pleasing to Lord Chaitanya's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord took his hand and spoke to him, displaying his anger of love. "If you have abandoned Gopinath's service and broken your vow to live in Puri, all that is now complete because you have come so far. Your wanting to go with me is simply a desire for sense gratification. In this way, you are breaking two religious principles, and because of this, I am very unhappy. If you want my happiness, please return to Nilachal. You will simply condemn me if you say any more than this." Saying this, Lord Chaitanya got into a boat and Gadadhar Pandit immediately fell down unconscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to take Gadadhar Pandit with him. Bhattacharya told Gadadhar Pandit, "Get up, such are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should know that Lord Krishna himself violated his own promise just to keep the promise of Grandfather Bhishma." And so there's a quote from the Bhagavatam. "Indeed, intending to make my promise true, Lord Krishna broke his own promise not to take up a weapon at Kurukshetra. With his outer garment falling off, Lord Sri Krishna jumped from his chariot, picked up a wheel, and came running at me to kill me. Indeed, he rushed at me like a lion going to kill an elephant, and he caused the whole world to tremble." And I'm just going to skip the purport here. But similarly, tolerating separation from you, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has protected your vow with great endeavor. In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya revived Gadadhar Pandit. Then both of them, very much grief-stricken, returned to Jagannath Puri, Neelachal. Another thing we can learn from this particular statement is that higher than even getting the Lord's personal darshan is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's really the mood of the gopis. The mood of the gopis is that if my unhappiness, you know, of course, this is reference to what Radharani says, or what Lord Chaitanya says in the mood of Radharani in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If my unhappiness gives Krishna happiness, then my unhappiness is my happiness. And that was Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's mood, to simply give Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happiness as Srimati Radharani served the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna in Vrindavan. So that's all we have time for today. We went a little longer, and so we can take some questions, if anyone has any questions. Today is a very, very important day. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is a member of the Pancha Tattva. He is the Shakti Tattva, non-different than Srimati Radharani. Let me allow you all to unmute yourselves so you can ask a question. We only have a few minutes left in class. Who has a question?
Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Rakesh, all right. What's your question?
Guru Maharaj, I understand that our position is a jiva soul, but we also hear that we are part and parcel of Krishna. So when we envy Krishna, we envy ourselves. Can you please elaborate on that one a little bit more?
Well, jiva soul, we are jiva souls, and a jiva soul is part and parcel of Krishna. there's no difference. I don't find any contradiction between being a jiva soul and being part parcel of Krishna. Part parcel of Krishna means we are the same nature as Krishna, but we are tiny and Krishna is great.
It's a Vishnu tattva. We are a jiva soul.
No, we are not Vishnu tattva.
He is Vishnu tattva soul.
Yeah, we are the same nature as Krishna. We are the same in quality as Krishna, but Krishna is of the infinite quantity, and we are of the finite quantity. It's just like a part of the body. Of course, we're not literally a part of the Lord's body, but we are part and parcel of Krishna. But it's not that Krishna needs us to be complete. Because as we hear in the Isopanishad, Om Purnam Ada Purnamidam, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfectly complete, and even though so many complete manifestations emanate from the perfectly complete person, he remains the perfect and complete. So this is the nature of God. Even though there are so many parts and parcel jiva souls that, in one sense, emanate from Krishna, it's not that he's any lesser. Or if one of those jiva souls is not there with him in the spiritual world, it's not that Krishna is missing anything. But we are jiva tattva, Krishna is Vishnu tattva, but we are part and part. Mame vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That's the story. That's the verse from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. I know it's hard to understand. Same nature as Krishna, but small. Like a drop of water, another example, a drop of water in a body of water like the ocean that is uniform in its nature, chemical constitution, has the same constitution. You can understand the whole ocean by examining one drop, if the whole ocean was uniform in its constitution. I understand the example is not perfect, but it gives us some understanding like that. So, all right, who else has a question? Rishikesh?
Hare Krishna, Guru. Guru, I just have a doubt, please. Please tolerate me if I'm. This question is a little bit. When I hear these pastimes of Vallabhacharya being called prostitute, I kind of feel that I'm creating a Vaishnava Prada. Because whenever I think about Vallabhacharya, I immediately remember this, you know. So it creates a little offensive attitude in my heart that I should not be thinking like this for Acharya. I mean,
first of all, that's the chastisement between the guru and the disciple.
Right.
You know, it's not that he actually is a prostitute, but the guru can call his disciple a rascal, like Lord Chaitanya. Let's give the example of Lord Chaitanya right now. When he was speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati, remember in the Society of Mayavadis, Lord Chaitanya said that he said, this is like a quote, "My spiritual master called me Murkha, a fool. Because the spirit," and he told me, "you don't have, not to study Vedanta, just to chant Hare Krishna." So the business of the spiritual master, the business of the preceptor, is to chastise the disciple. That doesn't mean that if the spiritual master calls the disciple a fool, that the disciple actually is a fool.
So basically, I should not be thinking that way, right? I mean, that's from
No. Vallabhacharya is a very great personality,
right,
a wonderful, great, pure devotee of the Lord. But his interactions with Lord Chaitanya, who in one sense was his Siksha Guru, and Gadadhar Panda Goswami was his Diksha Guru, are of the nature of disciple and guru. So the guru's business is to guide the disciple, sometimes by speaking heavy. It's not that he's actually a prostitute. That's not the case. He's a great pure devotee of the Lord.
But right, yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Does that help?
Yeah, that helps. The only thing is, you know, this pastimes have been so famous among Pushtimar people, and they really get very upset when they hear this. That's why I was wanted to see, you know, what, how do
yeah,
I
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we should not think that he was a prostitute. He's a great pure devotee of Krishna.
Right, yeah.
And but his guru, Lord Chaitanya, was guiding him, and it's the guru's business to chastise the disciple. I mean, I wish I had gotten chastised more by Prabhupada. But, you know, Prabhupada chastised many of his dearest disciples and called them rascals. But that doesn't mean they're rascals.
And that helps you with this. When someone asks me that question, I can always say it this way. Right?
Yeah, you're just, I mean, just like you have children. I mean, you know, like, you might have called your children rascals when they were young, right?
Right. Oh, many times.
Many times. But that doesn't mean that they're rascals. If someone else calls them rascals, that's a big offense.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to say to you, your children are rascals, you would get very offended.
No, it would be a blessing, Gurudev.
Anyway, I mean, all right, if I was to say to a mother that her children were rascals, that's a little bit different. Because a mother's love for the children is like unalloyed almost. So the children could be blind, the son could be blind, but the son is considered lotus-eyed. So the whole point is that we should not take what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Vallabhacharya to be absolute. We should take it as his chastisement to correct Vallabhacharya so that Vallabhacharya would be able to write his wonderful literatures. I mean, there's so many nice commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures that Vallabhacharya wrote. And he's very well respected all over India. So, but just because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spiritual master, called him a fool, doesn't mean that Lord Chaitanya's a fool. Right?
Right. I just wanted to understand, what do I, you know, when I get these kind of questions, how do I explain to them? That's
but you can also explain it, another way to explain it is a pastime. Like when Krishna was young, He was being chased by Mother Yashoda with a stick. Does that mean Krishna's a juvenile delinquent?
That's a good example.
So there's pastimes. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was young, he would, he did all sorts of amazing things. I mean, when people were saying Gayatri in the Ganges water, he would pull the legs out from under the Brahmins as they were saying Gayatri. He would put stickers in the little girl's hair. And so that, you know, these are pastimes of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya would actually philosophically attack the devotees when he was a young man in Navadvip. So you explain all these activities of Balabhacharya as pastimes, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an easy way to explain it. Just like Krishna had all these pastimes and Balabhacharya had all these pastimes. He's a very highly respected personality.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these great personalities, including Krishna, including Lord Chaitanya, including Gadadhar, who broke his promise and followed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have these pastimes.
Thank you, Gurudev. This is really helpful. Yep.
I mean, they all have these pastimes in which they appear like ordinary persons, and... You know, if I had ever gotten chastised by Prabhupada, unfortunately I never really got chastised by Prabhupada directly face to face, I would be proud of it. I'd be telling the story, you know, 100 times a day if I ever got called a rascal by Prabhupada. I mean, it would be relishable. So Balabhabhata's interaction with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's a relishable pastime. Right?
Yep, that's true.
It's relishable. I mean, interacted with Lord Chaitanya. I mean, how many people get to directly interact with Lord Chaitanya, get guided by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their Siksha Guru directly? And that's amazing. That shows that Balabhacharya is not an ordinary person. I mean, look at Lord Brahma. I mean, he got chastised by Krishna. Look at all these stories. You got Lord Shiva. He was fighting with Krishna. Right?
Right, right.
So, you know, you can't really... Just explaining, we're not bringing down Balabhacharya to the platform of an ordinary person. We're exalting him by showing him that he's having these different tasty exchanges with the Lord. Yeah, Lord Shiva was fighting with Krishna. Wow. You know, the Narayanastra was fighting with Lord Shiva's weapon. That story's there in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's even a story about Pallad Maharaj one time was fighting with an incarnation of Krishna. Krishna appeared dressed in yellow garment one time before Pallad Maharaj, and he had a fight with him. And then you have Jambavan, who was fighting with Krishna, right?
Yeah. For 21 days.
Yeah, he was fighting with Krishna. Finally, he understood Krishna was his Lord. And then he arranged for his daughter to marry Krishna, Jambavati. So, I mean, you really should see it from a higher spiritual platform as a pastime. Not look at it as... It's not really criticism of Balabhacharya. What it is actually... praising Balabhacharya for getting guided by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, it's amazing pastime. I mean, it's like praising Balabhacharya. I mean, because Balabhacharya is not God. And even God gets chastised by his mother. I mean, Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada got chastised by his guru.
Or is it? No. What's the pastime
yeah.
over there?
Well, there's one when Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada was arguing that India has to become independent first. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defeated him. But another time, Prabhupada was at a darshan, and Prabhupada was basically told another person to be quiet, and Prabhupada got chastised for speaking in the middle. I forget the exact words, but it was just like, you know, if you think you can speak better, then you should speak, or something like that, because it was interrupting a darshan of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So even Prabhupada got chastised. I mean, that's pretty nectar. That should be taken as something amazing that Lord Chaitanya chastised Balabhadra. Because that's an interaction, it's a spiritual interaction. You know, like, it's just, you know, it's completely exalted. You know, Krishna chastises Lord Shiva sometimes. Doesn't that make Lord Shiva lesser? You know, so you look at it from a different perspective, and then it actually turns out to be something very favorable for Balabhacharya.
It turns out to be very sweet.
Yeah, it turns out very sweet. He had an interaction with the Supreme Personality of God and was guided by the Lord. I mean, that's pretty. That's super sweet.
Yep.
You know, and also, you know, it's not, like Prabhupada said, we're not advocates of the naked mother philosophy. That means if your mother was naked, let's say Balabhacharya was making some mistakes, that doesn't mean his whole life was a mistake. That means he was corrected. Just like when I was young, I did so many things. I didn't know how to walk, and now I know how to walk. So, you know, it's actually very sweet that he was guided and corrected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't see that as... at that point, he wasn't acting as Balabhacharya. This is before he actually took on the role of Acharya. You know, that was before. And then later on, he actually took on the role of Acharya. So these were his previous pastimes. Anyway, he's a very exalted soul, and I certainly wouldn't criticize him. Okay, we have to end now. It's late. Okay, thank you all for joining us. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's appearance day. Ki jai. Hari Bol.